his stomach. There was a roar. The chicken flew a little way off, fluttering its plucked wings, and started running half-wittedly around the pallet. The people were dumbfounded and deafened. An endless echo reverberated, drifting away along the underground river.
"What have you done?"
Artyom asked Olejek. Olejek sat down.
"So that's it, then,"
he replied. The jacket on Olejek's stomach was turning sodden with something that flowed down onto the polythene skirt and became clearly visible as orange blood. This was absurd.
"What have you done now, pal?"
Artyom asked him.
"Why did you do that?"
Oleg looked round to find his chicken.
"Who can I leave, Ryabatu?"
he said in a sad, weak voice.
"Who can I leave her to? They'll eat her."
"Why did you do that, you idiot? Huh? You great, stupid idiot!"
Artyom roared, infuriated by his own wretched uselessness and Olejek's and everyone else's.
"Don't shout like that,"
Oleg told him.
"It's sickening to die. Come on, Ryabushka. Come to me."
"Why, you bastard! Why, you idiot! Grab hold of him! Grab hold of his legs, quick, let's go to Hansa!"
Artyom shouted to the broker, taking hold of Oleg under the arms. But with his slashed open hand, Leocha couldn't hold anything. Then Artyom stuck his bundle in Homer's hands, loaded the radio set onto the broker, picked up Oleg, light and limp, and carried him on his back toward the pedestrian passage.
"That's Olejek done for then,"
someone said in the crowd.
"Now you see him, now you don't.
And the egg didn't save him."
Homer strode after them, and Leocha too, gazing foolishly at the palm of his hand. The chicken, having recovered from its shell shock, started clucking and dashed along, flying from pallet to pallet after its master. And all the fans set off after it in a procession, rubbing their hands and giggling. Apart from one. The moment they moved off, a vague shadow slid down and pressed its face against the wooden boards, stuck a little hand into the filth and the broken glass, fearing nothing, on the wild gutter snipes everything healed over of its own accord. Their wild blood would pulverize any gangrene, and death only took the pampered homebred children. He didn't want to grind down his bony teeth on the orphans. By the time they got back to the center of the hall, to the steps that ascended from the underground sea through those 8 meters to the distant heavens, the scaffolding on all sides was hung all over with Mendeleevites. The hubbub fell silent. Everybody was waiting for something. Artyom clambered out onto the shore, set his waders on the granite, and stomped forward with them, leaving dirty puddles behind him.
"Hey, guys,"
he shouted to the border guards toiling upwards,
"we've got an emergency here. Got to get someone to sick bay, do you hear?"
The Mendeleevites, whispering among themselves, huddled up together and watched avidly. From the other side there was no answer at all. Unbroken, deathly silence.
"Guys, do you hear me?"
A rivulet babbled down the steps, transfusing bad blood from recuperating Novoslobodskaya to feverish Mendeleev. And that murmuring was quite clear and distinct. Artyom moved up one more step and hissed back over his shoulder, summoning the others, who had come to a standstill right at the very beginning of the stairway to paradise, Leocha and Homer.
"I won't go,"
the broker shook his head stubbornly.
"Well, fuck you then."
Just how does this happen, thought Artyom, that it's right here, Hansa, well-fed, washed and clean, hair set in a neat parting, and beside it at a depth of 8 meters down, a cave with cave people. Communicating vessels, aren't they? Why is it possible for... They were all there. The commander had a perplexed air. He kept touching his neck, then looking at his hand. Another two were smoking, and somehow that reassured Artyom. They smoke. That means they're human.
"Wounded man for sick bay. Gunshot wound. Happened by accident," he panted, lugging Olejek up to the sandbag breastwork.
It's true. Just look how much sand there is, thought Artyom. What should Olejek have to die for?
"Novoslobodskaya station is closed. No access," he was told. "Quarantine. You were warned."
Artyom moved closer as far as he could, but without releasing the roll-ups from their teeth. The soldiers jerked up their gun barrels.
"Halt!"
the commander said. What is he so annoyed with? Artyom looked closer. From here it was clear. The commander had managed to scratch off his pimple after all. Now the pimple was oozing blood one little drop at a time. As soon as the commander wiped it away, it gathered again and welled up. He had to milk it once more.
"We've got visas! Visas, we are just here with you!"
"Where's my riaba?"
"Stay back!"
He didn't even look at either Artyom or Olezhek with his bullet wound, only at his fingers, at the little red drops. And he squinted sideways absurdly, as if he was hoping to see his own picked raw neck.
"Maybe we can make a deal. Just as far as the sick bay, we'll pay. I'll pay."
The soldiers couldn't care less. Their baki was keeping them calm. They waited patiently for the commander's word, to shoot or not. Olezhek didn't move them.
"You're dragging a savage in here, are you?"
the commander asked his pimple irritably.
"Ryabushka."
"Hey, look, it's that one with the egg.
I recognize him from the kilt,"
one of the sentries finally exclaimed in delight. The chicken, caught by Homer, was fluttering its stupid weak wings, trying to follow its master up to heaven.
"A savage? You mean a savage?
Step back."
"But he'll stuff it on the spot right now."
"Has he got a visa?"
The commander remembered something. He took a scrap of a paper napkin out of his pocket and plugged his wound with it.
"He hasn't got a visa, I don't know. Stay back. One. I'll count to three."
"Just temporarily, at least. If only to swab the hole."
"Two."
The commander lifted off the napkin, looked to see if a lot of blood had flowed onto it, and was left unsatisfied.
"That's annoying. About the egg, I resent it."
"Let us in, you bastards! Listen here, Don Quixote. They're like flies in there,"
one of the soldiers said to Artyom.
"You're planning to rescue all of them? Your rescue tackle's not up to it."
Another one chuckled, spitting out the dead remnant of his roll-up.
"Please, come on, will you, please? Three. Violation of the state frontier."
The commander frowned. The pimple refused to be plugged. For the first time, he looked at Olezhek in order to take aim at him. A scraping sound, like flint, a click. The automatics have silencers. In Hansa, they take care of the soldiers' ears, and a bullet chipped the wall and pecked at the ceiling. Dust descended like a curtain. Only his service with Miller saved him. The body's learned ability to manage without the mind, to sense with its skin where the barrel of the automatic will sting, bringing death, and to fling itself down on the ground and dodge that death, still not understanding anything with its head. He dropped, dumped the living bundle off his back and started crawling, dragging Olezhek behind him. Another shot was fired at them, trying to hit the target, but the dust spoiled the aim.
"You bastards!"
Immediately, another whiplash at his voice, a spray of concrete crumbs. The monkeys behind him started whooping rapturously.
"There, try a dose of what we get.
Did they sprinkle any sand for you?
Thought you were a white man, eh? Come on, give it another try."
Artyom could only die uselessly here. Nothing else could be done. He slid down one step lower than another. He pulled Oleg after him. Oleg was breathing strenuously and trying not to bleed too much, but he was getting paler and paler.
"Listen here, pal. Don't you even think about it, right? How do we get out of this place of yours? There has to be something at Svetnoy Boulevard. There must be something there, eh, Grandad?"
"There was a brothel there,"
Homer recalled.
"Right. Where there's a brothel, there can be a doctor. Well, can't there? We'll sail that way. Come on, don't go to sleep here, you bastard. I'll give you sleeping. Stay awake."
But they couldn't sail to the brothel. Not Olezhek and not anyone. There was nothing to sail on. The banks of the canals running along the edges of the platform were empty.
"Pointless. He's a goner,"
the broker sentenced Olezhek lethargically. "Wait a moment," said Artyom.
"Wait a moment.
I want to die,
Oleg confirmed.
And my egg's broken. I'm sick and tired of living.
You shut your lousy trap. Just find a way to row out of here.
Artyom prodded the motionless broker with his gun barrel.
And you, show me your belly.
Right then, dirty skin, a hole in the skin, thin fluid pumping out from inside, everything smeared with filth. Homer took a look, too, and shrugged. Whether he would die or not, only the Almighty knew. He would die, probably. Leocha clutched the Christ hanging round his neck like a parachute release handle, roused himself and set off, slipping and slithering, hunching over to seek salvation. To look for a way out of this wolf pit. Whose fault was it? Artyom tried to work it out. It was the fault of the man with the egg. I didn't shoot at him. When he dies, it will be his own fault.
By the way, he promised me the chicken if he kicked the bucket.
A stocky woman with sagging breasts and a swollen eye said right into Artyom's ear.
We had a lot in common.
Go away,
Olejek begged weakly.
Witch!
Don't take a sin on your soul. You won't need the chicken there. Tell them to give me it, while you still can.
Go away! Let me think about God.
Leave the chicken to me and then think. Or better, give me it straight away.
The chicken closed its eyes under Homer's hand. It couldn't care less any longer. How can we get out of here, Auntie? Artyom asked the woman with the black eye.
Why, where would you be going, sweetie? And what for? After all, people live here too. We can keep the chicken together. Olejek here will kick the bucket, and you and me will work something out.
She winked with the eye that could still wink. It wasn't me who killed him, Artyom decided.
Hey! Hey!
Artyom heard some kind of singing. It came from a long way away. A march.
Hey! Over there!
What?
There's something sailing along, sailing out of the tunnel.
Leocha stood staring in amazement at the Jesus that had worked. Artyom picked up Olejek, who, as he dried out, was getting lighter and lighter, and they ran slowly to the canal tracks. And something actually did appear there. A raft? A raft! A headlight shone, oars plopped, a discordant choir clamored heartily. They were rowing from the direction of Savyolovo and moving straight toward Svetnoy Boulevard. Artyom hobbled out to meet them, almost tumbling into the canal along with the wounded man to drown idiotically at the last moment.
Stop! Hey, stop!
The oars stopped stroking, but Artyom still couldn't make out what was there. Who was there?
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Take us to Svetnoy! We've got money!
The raft crept a bit closer, bristling with gun barrels, with about 5 men on it, armed. And, now he could see this, there was room for a few more. They all gathered at the edge, Artyom with the dying man, Homer with the chicken, and Leocha with his hand. They were inspected by turns with a broad beam of light.
Don't look like freaks. We'll take you for a clip. Climb on.
Glory be!
Artyom didn't even finish saying it. He felt like singing. With his heart feeling as if his own brother had been pardoned, he put Olejek on the raft, unsinkable, lashed together out of thousands of plastic bottles full of emptiness, and flopped down beside him.
Watch it now. Don't you even try to snuff it before Svetnoy, he impressed on Olejek.
I won't go anywhere,
Oleg protested.
Why bother going somewhere? No point.
Don't take him away. Don't shatter a woman's heart,
the woman with the black eye wailed.
You'll never get him anywhere,
a voice supported her from out of the jungle.
Don't torment the man. Leave him here. He lived here. He'll give up the ghost here.
Why? You'll chew him up before he croaks.
That's insulting.
There wasn't any time for haggling. It was time to get underway.
The chicken? Leave the chicken. May you go blind in both eyes.
Mendeleev station sailed away into the past. Ahead lay a voyage along a drainpipe to the far end of the world, from where the beacon of life was twinkling to them.
"And where are you going yourselves, guys?"
the broker asked the bottle-raft oarsman.
"We're sailing to the Fourth Reich," they answered him, "as volunteers."
Chapter 7 Tsvetnoy Boulevard. The side of the raft jostled against a drowned man. He was dangling with his hunched back upwards, feeling at the bottom with his hands. He'd lost something there, probably. Artyom felt sorry for him. He'd very nearly managed to swim all the way to Tsvetnoy. Or was it that he hadn't gotten very far when he bolted from it?
"How are things with the freaks at your place?"
Artyom pretended it wasn't him they were picking at with the questions. He kept quiet, but they didn't give up.
"Hey, friend, it's you I'm talking to. I said, how are things with freaks at Alexeyevskaya?"
"Okay."
"Okay? Does that mean there are some, or you've killed all yours?"
"We haven't got any freaks."
"Yes, you do. They're everywhere, my friend. They're like rats. You've got to have some. They lurk, the bastards."
"I'll bear it in mind."
"But they won't be able to hide forever. We'll figure out who they are, every last one of them, the animals. We'll work it out. Use the ruler and the compasses on all of them. Right, Belyash?"
"Spot on. There's no place for freaks in the metro. We've got no air to breathe ourselves. They don't just eat mushrooms, they eat our mushrooms. Ours, get it? Mine and yours. There won't be any room in the metro for our children, because theirs will take it all up. It's got to be us or them. Us normal people have got to hold the line because those animals stick together."
A hand was placed on Artyom's shoulder, in comradely fashion. The first one, puffy, bags under his eyes, a little wedge beard, hands swollen up with excess water. The second one, covered in finely worked gunpowder tattoos, pockmarked face, forehead 2 finger breadths high. The third one, a shaven-headed goon with a single fused black eyebrow. He definitely wasn't an Aryan. The other two melted into the darkness.
"People are like pigs, get it? They've got their snouts stuck in the trough, grunting away. As long as someone pours swill in for them, everyone's happy. No one wants to think. Know what the Führer hooked me with? He says, 'Think with your own head.' If there are ready answers for everything, that means someone got them ready for you. You've got to ask questions. Get it?"
"And have you already been in the Reich before?" asked Artyom.
"I have,"
said the pockmarked one.
"Passing through, it really got to me. Because everything's right. It all falls right into place. You think, fuck it, where have I been until now?"
"Spot on,"
the shaven-headed one confirmed.
"Everyone has to start with himself, with his own station, with some little thing. Start with some little thing, just like running through his neighbors, at least. Heroes aren't born." "And they're there, they're everywhere. They have this kind of mafia of their own. They help each other along. Don't let normal people in."
"And at Riga, you wouldn't believe it. No matter how hard you struggle, it's like banging your head against the wall,"
Leoka remarked.
"Is that because of them, then? What do they look like, at least?"
"Sometimes, get it, they conceal themselves so well, you can't tell them from a human being. You have to scratch a bit."
"It's a shame. Not everyone catches on,"
the puffy-faced, shaven-headed one supported him.
"I've started figuring out who the freaks are at our station. Basically, not all the people are ready yet."
He rubbed his jaw.
"Some even interbreed with them. How's that for filth?"
"The main thing is to remember them all. All of them who have raised their hand against our folk, who have strangled our kind. The time will come."
"I say, come along with us."
The pockmarked one just wouldn't take his hand off Artyom's shoulder.
"As a volunteer, join the Iron Legion. You're one of us. You are one of us, aren't you?"
"No, guys. We're dummies when it comes to politics. We're going to the whorehouse."
Artyom really felt like he was choking. And that hand was burning through his turtleneck sweater. Any moment now there'd be a whiff of scorched wool.
He wanted to wriggle out from under that hand like an adder. But where to?
Now isn't that a shame? He's invited to save the Metro, and he sticks his snout back in his trough. Have you even thought about the reason why we've ended up in this situation? Have you thought at all about how we human beings are going to survive at all? With your own head? Of course you fucking haven't. Just want to visit the whores. You're interested in harlots, but the future of the nation doesn't bother you.
Get that armor plate, to hell with it. Maybe he'll shaft a freak there. Yuck, eh?
Hey, Grandad, maybe you at least. In your old age, it's time to think about your soul. You should be normal. Or have you got a little spot of cancer? They say the Führer equated...
No bother. They'll get the Iron Legion together and then, for now, we'll do a bit of training. And then we'll come back and remind all these animals. We'll take a trek through the Metro again, on the march.
What's this Iron Legion, then?
Leocha couldn't resist asking.
A volunteer force, for our own kind. Them as are trodden down by the freaks.
That's me.
Oh, there it is. Quiet.
We've arrived. Look at that.
At Svetnoy Boulevard, they were greeted by a searchlight, so they had to approach the station with their eyes screwed up, almost moving blind. Instead of centuries, there were hefty bruises. They weren't interested in visas or passports, only cartridges. Have you come here to spend money or just drool?
We need a doctor. Is there a doctor?
They had barely put into the platform before Artyom scrambled out and jerked the broker up by the scruff of the neck. Olajek had already given in and wasn't raving any longer. There were red bubbles coming out of his mouth. The faithful chicken had dozed off on his punctured stomach so that Olajek's soul couldn't evaporate through the hole.
A doctor or a nurse?
Cackled a mangled guard, a flattened nose and two cauliflower ears.
Come on, the man's dying!
We can't even find you angels here, too.
But he showed Artyom the way, after all. Okay, down that way to the doctor.
Of course, she deals with social diseases here, so no promises about the bullet, but she'll diagnose clap as quick as a shot.
Grab hold,
Artyom ordered the broker.
The last time,
Leocha warned him,
it wasn't me that shot him after all.
Nobody needs you,
Homer told the unconscious Olajek, taking a grip on one leg.
Only the chicken.
Yes, by the way, the chicken,
said Leocha. They set off through the station. According to Homer's calculations, it ought to lie even deeper than Mendeleev. However, there was exactly enough water here to turn the tracks into canals, and the platform itself remained dry. In response to Homer's amazement at why this was, Leocha explained,
Well, shit doesn't sink, does it?
What Svetnoy Boulevard had been like before, there was no way of telling any more. One single great den of vice had been set up here now, broken up into little cubicles, rooms and halls separated off by plywood, chipboard, sheets of cardboard, folding screens, blinds, curtains. Svetnoy Boulevard had been transformed into an impassable labyrinth, in which all the dimensions were violated. At this station there was no floor and no ceiling. In some places they had managed to squeeze in two stories under the roof, and in other places three. Odd little doors led from narrow, winding corridors into rooms the size of a bed, and other doors exactly like them led into spaces under the platform that were as big as a whole station, and where some of the others led to was anybody's guess. The din here was ferocious. Every room made its own kind of sound, and there were a thousand rooms. In some they wept, in some they laughed, in some they tried to drown out the screams with lively music. In some they bellowed drunken songs, and in some they howled in terror. That was how Svetnoy Boulevard's collective voice sounded, like a devil's choir. Well, and the women too, of course. whorish angels and stern ones in epaulettes and femme fatale in stockings full of holes and nurses with naked asses and simply vulgar sluts without any make-believe, an entire division. As many as could be fitted in, that was exactly how many had been fitted in, all shouting, calling out, exaggerating their charms, trying to lasso your glance. Every one of them short of time, just enough for one snake strike while someone walks past her, just this short half-meter. If she hasn't broken the skin, hasn't squirted the love poison into the scratch, that's it. He's gone. He who does not work shall not eat. Leocha's pain was relieved instantly, as if his wound had actually started healing up. But Homer felt ill at ease here, only right at the very beginning when they dived into a twisting and endless corridor. He suddenly jerked his bony neck round farther back than it could possibly be wrenched, and after that kept looking round, looking back over his shoulder.
"What is it, Grandad?" Archer asked him.
"I keep thinking. All the time I keep thinking. Everywhere. All the time,"
Homer replied.
"This girl. One I... who..."
Olajek's naked leg started slipping away from Homer.
"Good for Grandad, eh?"
Leocha panted.
"Get a better grip. There. That door there."
They carried the dying man inside. There was a queue of violated souls and itching bodies. All women. The doctor came out, a woman in thick glasses with a roll-up cigarette, hoarse-voiced and mannish.
"He's a goner,"
the broker informed her, just to be on the safe side. So that Olajek wouldn't stain the reception area with his final trickle of blood, they agreed to take him in hand immediately. They laid him out on a splayed gynecological chair, took a clip of cartridges in advance in case he croaked anyway, and told the others not to wait. They gave Leocha alcohol to feed to the mouth in his hand, but he was still left in the queue anyway.
"Here they sit like people, not like professionals,"
he explained to Artyom, nodding at the sad ladies.
"Maybe I'll meet the right one for me."
"Maybe. Well, let's say goodbye." "Whatever I could do, I did do," Artyom explained to himself. "This time I did everything I could. Job done. Foot loose and fancy free."
"Right then, either this way or that way."
They were sitting in a little cubbyhole of a room. Close beside them, a plain and underfed girl, about 14 years old, was bending and twisting on a pole. She had no breasts at all, and her ribs protruded pitifully, stretching her washed-out body stocking. She kept thrusting her bones into Artyom's bowl of soup, and he felt afraid of offending her by driving her away completely, because she didn't have any other clients, and he simply pretended that the pole wasn't there, or the young girl either. Or was that even more offensive to her? Where was a prostitute's pride, in what part of her? He didn't know. The soup was cheap, though, and he needed to watch his money at this stage. The cartridges had disappeared rapidly, and on nothing. Hanging on the wall was a map of the metro. That was what they were talking about. From Svetnoy Boulevard there were two routes leading onward, one the line straight on to Chekhov, the other through a connecting passage to Trubnaya Square Station, and from there to Stretensky Boulevard. If the map could be believed, you could get to Teatralnaya by the first way or by the second way, but Artyom couldn't get there either way. The map had been drawn a long time ago. The transfer hub, consisting of three stations, Chekhov, Pushkin, Tver, was now known by a different name, the Fourth Reich, which was supposedly heir to the Third. Perhaps the will had been forged, or perhaps the Reich really had been reincarnated. A regime can be killed, empires become decrepit and die, but ideas are like plague bacilli. They'll dry up and lie dormant in the corpses that they have killed, and wait there for as long as 5 centuries. If you dig a tunnel and run into a plague cemetery, touch the old bones, and it doesn't matter what language you use to speak, what you used to believe in. It's all good grist for the plague Bacillus Mill. And the former Sokolniki line, slicing the metro in half, had long ago become the Red Line. It wasn't called that for its colour, but for its creed. A unique experiment, building communism on one metro line. The formula was the same. Soviet power plus the electrification of the entire line, plus of course the other variables of this equation, which are not actually variables at all, no matter how much time may have passed. Some kinds of corpses can be sprightlier than the living.
I can't go to the Reich. Artyom shook his head. No way. Cross out Chekhov.
Homer gave him a quizzical look.
It's the shortest route, after all. From Chekhov to Tver, and then the next station's Teatralnaya.
Cross it out. I've got problems there.
You're Russian, right? White?
That's not it.
When I was there... Artyom beckoned the girl, who was prancing in desperation.
Go and have some soup. On me. Don't hang around here.
Somehow he just couldn't speak openly after the conversations in Hunza. He kept imagining he saw sweaters everywhere.
It's not important what it is. I won't go through the Reich. You know those stinking rats I'd... On the raft, on the way here, I could hardly stay on my seat. If there hadn't been five of them... Five makes things a bit tricky. And that hopeless case of ours, too, with the egg.
An idiotic situation.
Homer stroked the chicken, dozing on his knees.
I feel sorry for the guy.
Today's been a long old day.
Artyom wiped his mouth.
Hey, waiter!
Eh?
The waiter was elderly, grubby and indifferent.
What have you got? Got any moonshine?
Mushroom, 48%.
Yes, have some, Grandad.
Only 50 grams, no more than that, and some sausage, or I'll get squiffy.
And 100 grams for me.
The moonshine arrived.
An endless kind of day. How about we drink to that idiot, to Olajek? May he live. May he not haunt my dreams with his egg.
Okay. An absolutely idiotic business, grotesque.
And I came close to getting clipped, didn't I? You know you don't feel anything. Zip. But now I'm thinking it could all have been over already, and there are worse ways to go. It would have suited you for your book. Bang. And what a neat little ending, eh? A stray bullet. Do you really think you could have been killed back there? Maybe it would have been for the best, eh? 3 stations from Teatralnaya. 3 stations.
Artyom swigged again. He looked round at the dancer, immersed in her soup, at the sour waiter.
Is he really there? This radio operator, eh, Grandad? Where am I going anyway? What for?
He's there. Pyotr. Umbach. I think his name was Pyotr Sergeyevich. We got to know each other. My age.
Umbach? Is that an alias? Sounds like he fled from the Reich. From those stinking rats.
Would you like another?
No. No.
Well, okay then. Thanks. I don't think he's from the Reich. It's just...
They almost strung me up there once, Grandad.
Eh? But you're not... Or are you?
I shot one of their officers. It just happened. And then after that, to keep it short... I was snatched down off the gallows.
Could I? Only this much. Enough. And so they snatched you down, eh? You know, I've been thinking about the way people die. Who gets where in life? I mean, of course, I'm a romantic old fool, but after all, you didn't die today or then. Maybe it wasn't your destiny. Your time hadn't come yet.
What about it? What about those guys, the lads that we... The ones I held the bunker against the Reds with, the guys from the Order? Out of my unit, Letyaga was the only one left, and he just barely made it. But how many of them lost their lives? Old man, Shlyapa, number 10? What about them, for instance? Why were they told to die then? Had they been misbehaving?
Oh, good Lord, no.
Right, right, Grandad. Hey, pal, bring us some more of your Rotgut. Come on, work, work.
Is this the business you mentioned in Svinolop's office?
Homer asked cautiously after waiting for their drinks to be poured and the waiter to move away.
It's about Korbut, right? The Rient's head of counterintelligence? He threw all his fighting men against Miller. Right, without any authorization from the party leadership.
Someone was knocking regularly against the other side of the plywood wall. With the headboard of the bed or their own head, growing more and more ardent, moaning louder and louder. They said nothing for a while, listened, goggled, and winked at each other, leaning down across the dwarf table. Artyom gasped out,
"Counterintelligence." He was chairman of the KGB, of the Red Line, and with approval or without it. Just think about it, the chairman. Anyway, I was in that bunker together with the guys, the entire order. How many of us were there? 50? Against the battalion? And no ordinary battalion. And if the Reds had got their hands on the bunker, there was a depot in there.
I heard something. Either tinned food or medicines.
Tins, uh-huh. But the kind that if you open them up, do you think the Reds want chow? They'd always lived without it, and they would have carried on that way. Chemical weapons, tinned food. We fought them off. Took your tinned food up out onto the surface. Buried half of our men. That's the whole story, once again, without clinking glasses.
Without clinking.
And Miller? You've already seen him in a wheelchair. But did you ever meet him before that?
Yes, but even in a wheelchair. He's so pugnacious.
He's the man who put the order together, on his own. Collected the men one at a time, the best, 20 years, and then in one day, I only served a year with him, and it was like my family, but for him. And he's an invalid, one arm, his right arm, missing, can't move his legs, imagine it, he's in a wheelchair.
And as I understand it, you served in the order from the time when the Dark Ones were hit by the missiles. You and Miller found those missiles, isn't that right? And if you hadn't found them, the Dark Ones would have devoured the entire metro, and after that, he took you into the Order. As a hero. Right?
Let's have another right now, Grandad.
On the other side of the wall, someone cried out so loudly that even the chicken woke up. The drowsy film slid off the little berries of Riaba's eyes, and she tried to take wing.
Your soul flew up to heaven, said Artyom, grabbing at the chicken with a drunken hand. And here's the interesting thing. The route's the same. Look, where can we go now from here? Only to Trudnaya. And from there to Stretensky Boulevard. Sorry, but I really don't want to go to the Red Line either. That's the kind of traveling companion you've got. So then it turns out there's only one way. To Turgenev. And then along our branch, to Kitai Gorod, there used to be a deadly tunnel there. Evil. And to Tretyakov. 2 years ago, I walked along the same route. Damn it. So much crammed into just 2 years. And from Tretyakov to Teatralnaya. That time, of course, I was on my way to Polis.
Is that the quest I heard about that time with the Dark Ones?
That time with the Dark Ones. Listen, playmate, why don't you go and have some more soup? Really, I'm married, I think.
No, no, I don't need anything either, thank you. But what... why? Miller's daughter. She's your wife, isn't she?
She is. My wife used to be a sniper. Her daddy trained her, but now these here mushrooms... where did I put it now? The mushroom.
And Miller... why did he take a dislike to you?
Because she took a liking to me. Grandad, why don't you tell me something instead? What's this business all about, with you and the blondes?
I don't understand.
You talked about some girl or other. You had something going on. You keep asking me questions, grilling me. Let me ask one.
There wasn't anything going on, nothing. She's like a daughter to me. Last year... I don't have any children of my own, and this young girl,
I got attached to her, like her father or her grandfather, really. Not as... And she was killed.
What was her name?
Sasha. Her name was Sasha. Alexandra. The station was flooded. And everyone... Okay, why don't we... Without clinking again.
Pal, hey, another one and some sausage.
The sausage is finished. We've got marinated worms, but they give you... you have to know what you're doing with them.
And can we stay here for the night?
The room's only rented out with the woman.
With the woman? With that one, is it? I'll take her. Hey, take the day off. Go on, go away.
And well, I tell myself she was killed, that she's gone. But I still see her everywhere anyway. I meet her. I confused her with that appalling hussy. How could I? She, Sasha, was so gentle. Such a radiant girl, and she'd only just got out of her station. Her entire life, can you imagine? At the same station? Sitting there on that same kind of bicycle with no wheels? For the electricity? Imagining something to herself? And she had this little packet that used to have tea in it. With a picture. Some mountains or other. Green. China, I suppose. Like a crude old woodcut. And that was her whole world. Imagine it. That little packet was the whole world for her. But tell me. Tell me, who's this Zhenya?
Who's Zhenya?
Yes, who is he? This Zhenka. When you wander off, you start talking to him.
A friend of mine. A childhood friend.
And what about him? Where is he? Is he always with you? Does he hear you?
Where? The same place as that Sasha of yours. There's no other way to talk to him.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I'm the one who didn't mean to, letting anyone and everyone hear. I won't say any more. I understand everything. Zhenya's gone, Artyom, full stop.
Will you forgive me?
No more. Fuck Zhenya. We're finished with him. Waiter! You've persuaded me. Let us have this worm of yours. Only slice it as fine as you can, so I can't tell.
I'm sorry about your Sashka.
Sashenka.
Maybe she ought to have stayed at her station. Maybe all of us ought to have just stayed at our stations, eh? Ever thought that? I sometimes think that. Stay at home and don't go anywhere. Grow mushrooms, although... Zhenka stayed, and what came of that?
What I say is this. I used to be an engine driver in the metro, a genuine metro engine driver, yes, yes, and I have this theory, a kind of simile, if you like, that life is like a branch, like the tracks. There are points on them that switch those tracks and an end of the line. Not just one, but... a number of them. Some people simply go from here to there, and that's it. Some go to the depot to their final rest. Some go through a secret connecting tunnel and skip across to another branch. That is, there can be lots of ends of the line. But each of us has only one destination, and it's his own. And you have to set all the points on the tracks correctly to end up at precisely your destination. To do what you were actually born into this world to do. Am I expressing myself clearly? And so, as I started saying, maybe I'm an old fool and this is all stupid romantic nonsense. But to die from a stray bullet, or not to get anywhere at all that's not for you, Artyom. That's what I think. That's not your point of destination. You've got a different one. Somewhere.
That sounds good, all right. Artyom let out his breath.
And which line did you work on?
Where was your point?
Me?
Homer downed another shot.
I was on the circle line.
Artyom pulled a wry face. He winked at the old man.
That's funny, but the worm's not too bad.
If you don't know what it's called? Eh?
I won't have any.
But I will. I tell you what, Granddad, I've met people before who spoke to me about life and fate. About destiny. Bullshit. Garbage. Got that? There isn't anything, just empty tunnels. And the wind blowing through them. That's all.
He scooped the remains of the worm into his stomach and got up on airy, light, unsteady legs.
I'll go and take a piss.
He fell out of one little box of a room into another, behind the plywood, and everything changed. Before, there was a bar with a pole and a poor wretch in a body stocking, a ceiling 2 meters high. And now there was a walk-through space, a corridor, with mattresses scattered about in it, and naked people fumbling about on the mattresses, some taking their time, some frenziedly, bumping against each other, trying to find a foothold, thrusting out their bare heels, groping for firm ground with them, walls papered with pages out of porn magazines, faded and stale. A ceiling too low to straighten up. He staggered on. A huge belly covered in curly hairs, but no hair at all left on the head, striped suspenders sitting on a sagging sofa with a nymph on each knee, and walls covered in this snug, cozy wallpaper, like there is up on the surface in the abandoned apartments. He's stroking the girls' bare backs. They arch them like cats. One of them kisses the other. The fat shudders and shakes. He grabs one of them by the back of the neck in a different way, crudely. The light goes out. Grope on.
Where's the John here?
Further along.
A grand piano tinkling, a genuine grand, and right there on the lid they've laid out a corpulent lady, one hind quarter to the right, the other to the left. The lady is squealing shrilly. A man in a denim jacket is beavering away diligently. A lean backside with dimples submerged in the meaty opulence. The ceiling's swaying. What's that drawn on the ceiling? Nope, got to move on. 3 men in black uniforms that they say were made for railway workers in the old world, but which have found owners in the new world too. 3-legged spiders on the sleeves, black in a white circle. The triumvirate of Chekhov, Tver, and Pushkin. Precisely. This place is only one stretch of track away from them. They come here every day, probably. Every night, right here, standing. He's hiked up her skirt, dropped his trousers. She's biting her lip, enduring it. Another 2 in the queue, getting ready. Discipline. The piano can still be heard here, and this man in black seems to be following the rhythm. 2 ways out at once. To the right and to the left.
Where?
And then back to basics, without any frills again. 0 decor, bodies lined up side by side, like a ditch full of people who've been shot, and stirring as feebly as the ones who weren't finished off. Dope fumes eddying in the air, creeping through the cracks from a room to tickle people's nostrils next door. The fumes get into his eyes, his lungs, his head, his heart. On farther and farther. Where has he come from, this Artyom? How is he going to get back there? Straight ahead or left? There's a devil with his backside flogged raw. And look at that broad-shouldered wench working him over. Where do they get that underwear from, my God? Take it off the corpses up on the surface, do they? Really good quality underwear, imported. A boy, dressed as a girl, moving towards Artyom, wiping his lips with the hem of his dress. But he's got a moustache, like in a circus freak show. The bearded woman. There used to be a circus here, didn't there, directly above this station? The famous old circus on Tsvetnoy Boulevard. And yet another door, maybe it's here. They must have one somewhere here, after all. Some kind of feast in carnival masks. That is, they wanted them to be carnival masks. Did they draw them themselves, then? Could it be the place that girl-boy escaped from? A girl gets up to meet him, frail and elegant and completely only hiding something with her hand. Something in her hand. reaching for her throat, feeling at something there.
Sit down, sit down, don't go away, stay a while.
I've got a mushroom, Anya. He fumbled for the mushroom in his pocket and clutched it like an amulet.
You're funny.
Where's your... I've got to go. Got to...
Over there, that way. And then come back to me, please.
But no. He didn't go back there, he got lost. And then he feels tired, and there's some kind of table, and men round the table, and girls under the table. And he feels sick and doesn't have the strength to walk any farther. He sits down, the ceiling spinning, spinning, a proof that the entire universe spins around the earth. They bring one out. She's naked. And they lash her across her bound arms. The others exchange glances and clap.
Don't you dare!
Artyom got halfway up as far as he could.
Who are you, eh? Don't dare! Humiliate her!
He dashed to beat his way past, but they caught him and held him.
She wants to. Who's forcing her? We feed her.
Dimwit!
That's the girl shouting.
Get lost! I'm working!
Give it to her hard!
Come on, no pity!
She begs. That's her, begging them.
And you, don't you dare. You, don't!
You don't want to. She doesn't want to. She just hasn't got any choice. Where else can she go?
Smart ass! And all of us, where can we go? Lash away, lash away! And now across the tits!
Ah!
Give me it! I've got a better aim! Sit down, have a drink with us. A stalker? You a stalker? I won't. Not with you. I won't. Don't touch her. Worse than animals. All of you. Where can you go? I know where.
And where's that, eh?
To search. Search for where other people have survived. Search. Leave this cursed place. Here we... Who are we turning into? Why, you make me...
A stalker! A dreamer! Did you hear that?
Go up on top! Have you seen the back of your head? You're going bald, brother, and you want us to follow you? Uh-uh!
Ah!
Oh, that's good! Oh, that's sweet! Eh, you little bitch? What can we do here in the metro? We'll degenerate. People with two heads will be born. People with no fingers, hunchbacks. People with no eyes will be born. Slime instead of eyes. One out of three with cancer. Goiter, just go and count up how many have goiter. While you still know how to count, your children won't know how to do anything. You whip girls to amuse yourselves, but at the next, at Mendeleev, it's all over. Finished. They're cavemen. In 20 years, cavemen.
Hang on. Hang on there, stalker. You're talking good sense there. He's talking sense, eh? He's our man.
And... Mendeleev's grand old station compared to it, this brothel. Fool!
But what he says is right. We're degenerating. Our genes are polluted.
Let's have a drink, stalker. What's your name? Isn't that right, guys?
Our genes are polluted. There's no purity. Pour him a drink. We've got something here with a little secret to it, stalker. Here's to you. To the purity of our genes. Eh? What? There's no other way we can save ourselves. It's hard work, dirty work, but someone's got to do it. Here's to us.
To us. To the Reich. To the Reich.
Ah, go to hell. Me? Drink to fascists? They fought. Our grandfathers. Just look at this stalker, eh? Getting his dander up. Fascists? You haven't been following the Führer's speeches. There haven't been any fascists around for ages. A change in the general line. Even the Nig, right? All men are brothers. Are you taking this in? If their genes aren't broken, people have to stick together against the freaks, because to survive the metro, there's only one way to go. And...
purity of genes! Salvation of the people!
They yelled in chorus.
Darwin was a fine boyo for sure.
He wasn't going anywhere on these legs.
And it has to be done. We have to purge, stalker. You climb up there. Keep climbing up. Look for a place where we can live. Go right ahead. And in the meantime, we'll be purging. Everyone has his own job to do. You're okay. Okay? Don't distress yourself. Lay into her.
He gathered up enough strength to slip down and collapse under the table. And there were naked girls down there, stuck between the legs of the orators. He puked. He crept out of there on all fours, followed by applause.
"Vile brutes! You've degenerated into brutes, and me along with you. I'm a vile brute."
And then the rooms and tiny little rooms and cubbyholes started swirling about strangely. Were they real or not? Colored, made of cardboard, glued together with... Naked. And naked people climb into his face, and someone naked tries to ride along on him. And all the time, someone's following him, prowling after him, catching up with him. Is it a devil or someone else, or have those merrymakers sent a killer? I wouldn't want to find myself floundering in their noose. Are the ones who condemned me to death 2 years ago with them? Maybe they are, and those steps are still there behind me, and I have to move faster, but I'm on all fours. And what if it isn't a killer after all, but a devil? Satan come to take me. He wants to drag me back down 8 meters into the next circle, and what's there? Go away, I don't want you. Where's my mushroom, the mushroom she put in my pocket? Where's my talisman against these evil spirits? Lord, save and protect me.
Over here, this way, that's it. We've got a comfortable little sofa in here, too.
A strange hall. What a strange hall. And that chandelier, and the ceiling here so high. 4 meters. How can that really be possible? And where's all this light from? What are they offering me? What kind of man is this? No strength left. Why, the guards in the doorway, who are they? I beg your pardon, I couldn't help overhearing. I got interested. A stalker, right? You dream of still finding other survivors. Don't believe we've been left here all alone. It's sickening. I understand. Sickening even to imagine that apart from our metro, no one was saved at all. Absolutely nowhere. Who? Who are you? But what do you think if it suddenly turned out that the world hadn't really been destroyed at all? What, do you think people would leave the metro, abandon everything here, start making a new life of themselves somewhere else instead? Total nonsense.
In an instant, our disaster, tragedy, we've got nowhere to go. All of us, we're stuck slaving away down here, down in the vaults.
Come on now, what do you mean, nowhere to go? Look what a choice there is. There you have the fascists, there you have the communists, there you have any religious sect you like. Just choose a god or invent yourself one to suit your own taste. If you like, you can even dig a stairway down into hell and basically you can settle wherever you like. There are lots of stations. Rescue books if you want to, develop a taste for human flesh if you like, fight a war, by all means. What else do you need? Do you think people here are lacking something? And what would that be, I wonder? Take you, for instance, yes, and you can do whatever you like with the women, they're not going to go anywhere. Right, by the way, we've got something set up for today. Sasha, Sashenka, come on in. We've got a visitor. Yes, he's unwashed and wild, but you know, don't you? You know that's precisely the kind I like to make happy. Come on, little one, be gentle with him. Look what a crust he's grown, this man. He's got a splinter of ice in his heart. Like little Kai, you have to breathe on his heart. Hold him in your hands, or else it won't thaw out. Yes. I want to watch how you caress him and he caresses you. But you don't have to hurry. We've got time. Kiss him. That's it. And don't forget about me, my little one. No. Stop. Don't. I've got a mushroom here and it will protect me. Of course, you're the devil. The devil. But you must be afraid of mushrooms. All holiness is in them. You're Sasha.
Where have I heard that name? Your name's Sasha, 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 Sasha.
Hey, you hear me? Hey, is he even breathing at all?
Seemed like he was breathing. Try blocking his nose. If he's alive, he'll open his mouth.
Hey, brother, how are you? Isn't definitely him?
Something white. White and cracked. A black crack. Like the river Moscow exposed between banks still covered in snow. And it hurts the river so badly when the ice breaks. Melt water. Spring, probably.
Turn him over. Why has he got his face stuck in the tiles?
The picture changed. No more snow or river to be seen, but the pain is still flowing along it. Strange. His cheeks scorched, his arms smarting. Someone's eye has manifested itself in the empty void. It looks inside Artyom, creeping in where it hasn't been invited.
It's him. Get up, Artyom. What did you do to him?
It's nothing to do with us. He was like that already.
And where are his clothes? Where's his jacket and his vest? And what's this here on his arm? Bloody hell!
I definitely didn't do that. I swear on my own mother.
Your mother?
Okay, get him up. Get him up, I said. That's it. Sit him with his back against the wall and bring some water.
The distance opened up. A corridor. Doors. Doors and light at the end. Maybe that was where he ought to go. Could that be where his mother was waiting for him?
Mama!
Artyom called.
He can hear everything. Right as rain. Coming back from outer space. Mixed worms and moonshine, did you? You mixed them, you suicidal freak. And something on top of them as well. How long is it since you lost him?
We parted the day before yesterday.
A good job you copped on. A corner like this, he could have been lying here for a week, even 6 months.
We don't abandon our friends in trouble. Here's your 3 cartridges. Hey, Artyomich, that's it, no more of that. Reveille, the bugle's calling.
Something clicked, and the pain eased off a bit. They changed the lenses. First they focused one on the world, and then the other, selecting the right one. Eventually it all matched up, and outlines became distinct. They adjusted the focus.
Who are you?
A shit-shifter in a leather coat. Leocha, that's who.
Why? Why you?
It's strange. Strange, Artyom thought excruciatingly. And there was something even stranger. This wasn't their Leocha. Something was missing. Missing. The stink. Because when Artyom disappeared into Tsvetnoy Boulevard, Homer wasn't able to find him. Then he ran into Leocha in the labyrinth, and Leocha recognized him and helped. Thanks for that. They found him on the 3rd day in a toilet that didn't work, smeared with filth, with no clothes left except his trousers. What happened? He didn't know. Grope around in your memory with your hands, and they don't catch anything. Blackness, just like in the tunnel. Is there anything there, or isn't there? You can't tell. Maybe it's empty. Or maybe there's someone standing right behind your back, breathing on the back of your head and smiling. Or maybe that isn't a smile. But gaping jaws. You can see damn all.
My arm. What's wrong with my arm?
Artyom touched it and winced.
Don't you remember that either?
Homer was alarmed.
Not a thing. Your tattoo.
What about it? On his forearm it used to say, if not we, then who? But not a single letter was left. They were all covered in something charred and swollen, with something red and white oozing out from under it. Over every letter there was a little round brand.
They burned it out with a cigarette,
Leocha announced.
What was it then? Lucia, I'm yours forever? Did you run into a jealous one?
The Spartan tattoo. Everyone in the Order had one like it. When you were accepted, they marked you with it, a reminder, this is forever. There aren't any ex-members of the Order. And Artyom, it was a year since he'd been discharged, but he'd have choked before he would have erased those words.
"Who could have done this?"
Homer asked. Artyom touched the cauterized bumps without speaking. It stung, but not as badly as he would have liked. More than one day had gone by, a crust had already started growing. A crust. A table floating in the moonshine, like a little rescue raft, and behind the table faces of some kind, and he himself, Artyom, clinging to this raft for a while. But they didn't torture him there. They didn't burn him. They applauded him for something, and after that it was all some kind of nonsense or other. Or was it maybe a delirious dream? There was no way he could tear his dreams apart from the reality.
"I don't know. I don't remember."
"Take care of the dog," Leoch suggested. "Dad'll revive you. And here's a little jacket I got for you, to replace yours." Artyom wrapped himself in the jacket. It was two sizes too big for him. He couldn't make out if it was night or day at Svetnoy Boulevard. There was the same soup in the bowl. The irrepressible neighbors were still moaning and shaking the ramshackle walls in the same way. The glutinous music was stewing in the murky air. A different girl was swinging round the pole in exactly the same way. Artyom took a sip of his hot soup. Exactly the same as at exhibition, exactly the same as everywhere in the metro, and thought slowly, why this brand? Who could have done it? Who had dared? The Order had never interfered in the squabbles between the lines. It had always stood above the fighting. Miller despised politics. He wouldn't tolerate any command structure above him. He didn't obey anybody's commands, and he wasn't on anybody's payroll. 20 years ago he had been the first to swear an oath not to take sides, to defend without making any exceptions all the people in the metro, against the kind of threats that no one else could stand up to, or the kind that no one understood yet. The oath of the Order was also administered to a few, and only after long trials and tests. Miller didn't want an army. Former Special Services soldiers, stalkers, and agents of the Order wandered through the metro, invisible, reconnoitering, remembering, reporting. Miller listened to them. And if a threat arose, a genuine, unavoidable threat against the entire metro, then the Order struck a calculated, deadly blow. Because of its small numbers, it couldn't wage open wars, and so Miller tried to destroy the enemy secretly, suddenly, in the embryo, in the cradle, and so it turned out that not many knew about the Order, and everyone who knew was afraid of it. Only now, someone hadn't been afraid. But why hadn't they finished off the job?
"While I was looking for you, I walked into a dead end. I saw stained glass pictures there. At Novoslobodskaya they broke, but here they survived."
Homer paused and added,
"Filthy, rotten station."
"We have to get going." Artyom put down his empty bowl.
"I'm leaving in an hour,"
Leocha announced.
"Going back? You think they'll let you into Hansa?"
"Nah. I thought about it, and I realized I've outgrown shit. I'm going to join the Iron Legion."
"Huh?" Artyom turned his eyes towards the broker. Red, strained eyes. That was what Leocha had washed himself off for.
"I listen to the lads. It's good sense. Until we normal people fling the freaks out onto the surface, life here won't be worth living. Anyway, I'm setting off to the Reich with a platoon of volunteers. Remember me kindly."
Homer merely blinked moistly. Apparently he was already in the know.
"What are you, a cretin?"
Artyom asked Leocha.
"A cretin, is that it?"
"You go to hell. What do you know about the freaks? Do you at least understand what a savage mafia they have right through all the metro? And all those bastards at Riga? For dead sure, I'm going back to them in metal-tipped boots. They issue these brilliant boots there."
"I know a thing or two about freaks," Artyom replied.
"Well, that's it,"
Leocha said, as if that was the end of the conversation. "Well, now," said Artyom, We'll meet up again sometime, then.
Definitely,
Leocha responded merrily.
We'll definitely meet up.
He got up and crunched his finger joints happily. It was time to take his life into his own hands. At that point, his glance fell on the chicken pecking at the floor.
Maybe we should divide it up, then?
He suggested.
What about Olajik, by the way?
Asked Artyom, suddenly remembering.
Snuffed it,
the broker declared cheerfully.
Just as I thought he would.
He was still unsteady on his feet, but he didn't want to stay at Svetnoy a single second longer than necessary. But forcing his way through Gomorrah with a knapsack and a big bag was even harder than doing it naked. The labyrinth came to life. The kaleidoscope of crummy dives shook itself, settled into a new pattern, and the right way out of there didn't work anymore. And so, instead of the pedestrian passage to Trubnaya station, they were jostled out to the canal tracks.
"Oh, look here now, it's our brother-in-arms, the Stalker!"
It was spoken to his back. Artyom didn't even think it was meant for him, but a slap on the shoulder made him turn round. Four men in black uniforms with three-legged spiders on the sleeves were standing there. Artyom didn't recognize them at first, and then it was as if he glanced into that three-liter jar of salted mushrooms, and there in the murky brine, their faces turned towards him. From out of the day before yesterday, this one hadn't he been sitting at the table? He welcomed Artyom and poured him the poison, a mole on the bridge of his nose. Artyom had peered hard at that mole of his while the others... But what had they talked about? And after that conversation, why were they glad to see him? They ought to bite his throat out.
Remember, comrades, that stalker ride, the one who's one of us, and he crawled away from us like a moon rover? Ho, ho! Well, fancy seeing you again.
Artyom hadn't seen such sincere smiles for a long time.
"Why not come along with us? We need men of principle,"
the man with the mole suggested. Their collars had Unteroffizier tabs, and behind them a column of riffraff was lined up in threes. Somewhere at the end of it Artyom glimpsed the former broker as well. He guessed the volunteers, the Iron Legion, for the purity of our genes, but then hadn't he drunk to that? He ought to have puked then instead. "Go get fucked." And he stomped away from them, well out of harm's way. But what he fancied now was